What should we do when the coronavirus lockdown ends? What shall we do when we're able to fellowship and worship together again in person? Celebrate! With worship of praise and thanksgiving, with testimonies of the Lord's goodness, and with a fellowship party that anticipates the wedding feast of the Lamb. On Easter Day, our lockdown in the power of death is ended by the Lord. His resurrection breaks open our tombs. Unless Jesus comes again in glory in our lifetimes, we will still die in this world, but we will live in the new creation. All, everyone whose names are written in the book of life shall not, to use the very strong language of Scripture, be thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. When this coronavirus lockdown ends, what might you do differently? What might you do differently afterwards because you came to value it in the lockdown? What would you be glad to take up again because you missed it so much in the lockdown? On Easter Day, the lockdown of death has been undone for us. So let us celebrate that when we can with a party of worship and witness. That will be something to look forward to. Think of how Martha and Mary would have rejoiced with Lazarus after his raising up from the grave and telling everyone just how it happened. Think of how Jairus and his wife would have celebrated the return to life of their daughter. Surely Jairus did tell everyone what happened, witnessing that brought him into our awareness in the Gospels. And think of how the town of Nain would have rejoiced with the unknown widow at the restoration of her dead son. As the father says in the parable, when his lost son returns, "Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead, but is alive again." Celebrate, Easter, celebrate. Celebrate, for through this day, nothing was ever again how it had always been. The first age of the world ended with the coming of Christ. Now on Easter Day, the age of the gospel transforms into the last age of the world, the age of Easter, the age of resurrection hope, the age of the life and witness of the church. Celebrate, for God and his love has thrown open the gates of heaven to all who would turn to Jesus Christ. Easter, the triumph day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first day of the new creation, the promised day of our new eternal life, has been opened up for us. God, as Paul tells us in Ephesians in his second chapter, God, in an action of grace springing from his love, has saved us, who by our nature were objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive with Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved. And God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This is resurrection language. This is what Easter has done for us. And in doing this, God crafted us as his own workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, and also building us together to become a dwelling in which he lives by his Spirit. As Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:10 and 2:22. Therefore, we need to guard ourselves against falling into what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called cheap grace. That's the idea that as we are saved by grace, nothing more is required of us. But the truth is, that while our salvation is unconditioned, our faith life is conditional. We are called to an obedience of seeking the kingdom and to actions of love. God's grace brings us into relationship with him. Remember how John wonderfully puts it in his first letter. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Yet, as he goes on to stress, God's love for us calls for a response of love from us. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother or his sister. The evidence of our being truly saved by grace through faith is shown in our loving God and others, especially but not only our fellow believers. We are graced through faith for love. Love expressed in self-sacrificing truth and action. Think about it. Can God really dwell in a people who quench and grieve his Holy Spirit? For they are not willing to walk loving as Jesus loved. May we celebrate Easter by living a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. As Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Now, living the Christian way, the way of love, is not easy. I pray constantly that the Lord with the Holy Spirit would give me more love, would grow me in loving, would transform me from all that resistance to love and mature me in love. Whoever says that being a Christian is as easy as, say, eating chocolate at Easter time has never lived the Christian life. It simply cannot be easy to walk the way of love. For God's love calls us to choices that challenge our natural desires. Remember the rich young man. God's love calls us to suffer for the sake of his kingdom, which means choosing to do what we know will hurt us because we love him. That's what it means to take up our cross. Love is the narrow way. Remember what Paul said to some early disciples, and he said these words to strengthen and encourage them to remain true to the faith. Luke records them in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And that is the only way to eternal life, the way of love. Remember the parable of the sheep and the goats. The way of love is summed up by Jesus in the Beatitudes. These are the values, the actions, and the ambitions that we need to grow in our beings. When explored and understood, they are not easy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely because of Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, for then your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Celebrate, Easter, celebrate. May we do so, holding back from fear of the hazards of love and death, for we are Christ's disciples, his adopted brothers and sisters in the fellowship of his church, princes and princesses in the kingdom of God, anointed to be servants to each other, called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Because of Easter, death has lost its sting for us. And as Paul tells us in Romans 8:39, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, may we celebrate Easter with a house party, each in our homes, for we cannot meet together, but also going into now and proceeding into the future with a church life. A house party of those we are with that points to the end time feast of all we will be with. A church life worthy of the Lord, seeking to please him in every way, bearing fruit in good works, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. That great, amazing might that raised Jesus from the dead. So that we may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. Let us also remember, as Peter says in his first letter, let's praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for us. And though we have not seen Christ, we love him and believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for we are receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our lives. And that last phrase, the salvation of our lives, is a more accurate translation than that given in the NIV, which translates it as the salvation of our souls, which gives the impression that we are resurrected into a disembodied future. Oh no! In the new creation, we will be whole, spirit, soul and body, all now rebalanced in their proper relationship, renewed in full personhood, in the eternal living presence of God. Death will very likely take us from this world, but for us, for all who believe, it's a shadow without power. Celebrate Easter, celebrate. Praise the Lord. Amen.